In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day.
I believe that a Christian family is meant to be a microcosm of heaven. In other words, a small representation of the great glory and unity and love which exists in heaven. A microcosm, of course, is very tiny and very faulty, of course, since we're still in the flesh and we are sinners and we fail and we need confession and the blood of Jesus every day. But there is still the possibility that in a Christian community, whether it's a church or a home, that heaven can be represented. It is a place of refuge and a place of peace and a place of comfort and joy. A family is a community, a group of people bound together for a single purpose. And the purpose of a Christian family is to glorify God. Christ is the head. In our home in Philadelphia, we had a small bronze plate over the front doorbell. By the front door, it said, "Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation." So anyone who rang the doorbell of our home had a fairly clear idea of what kind of a home this was supposed to be. We were not exemplary children. We were just like any other children. And we were sinners, and our parents were sinners and acknowledged that fact. But there were many ways in which it was clear to us children that Christ was indeed the head of our home. Our parents were subject to his authority. I'm very grateful, eternally grateful, for having had two parents who were both seven-day-a-week kind of Christians. And I'm very aware of how rare that is today. I suppose it was pretty rare in my day. But I thank God for it, and I know that I have a very solemn responsibility as a result. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And it awes me to think of how much I have been given. Christ is the head. The law in the home is love. It's not a political arena where we talk about rights. And it's very hard for us nowadays not to talk about rights, because we are constantly bombarded with a bunch of rubbish and nonsense and garbage about human rights. Now, there are human rights, which C.S. Lewis says are legal fictions. It does make sense that in our Constitution, citizens should be guaranteed certain rights. We've gone way overboard in thinking about rights without ever thinking about responsibility, and in multiplying the number of rights. You know, the Bible never tells us that we have a right to happiness, nor does our Constitution. The Constitution simply says the right to the pursuit of happiness. Well, even that is misleading. But the point I'm making here is that a Christian home is not a political arena, because, for one thing, Christ is the head. For another thing, we accept his hierarchical order, and the law is love. In the public field, in the political field, there have to be laws which do not operate by love. They operate in another way. But the law in a Christian home is love. Now, this word hierarchy, it's also another one of those red flag words to people who would call themselves feminists, because they like the idea of equality. We're all equal, and we're all interchangeable. Well, last night, Lars happened to switch on the TV in the motel, and who should be on but, what's the name of that wonderful British couple that do the figure skating? Torvill and Dean? Torvill and Dean. And I thought, what a perfect illustration there on that screen of the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, they're very much alike. They could do everything in perfect harmony, but all you have to do is just look at what the man does and what the woman does and the harmony that exists between them, and we see this glorious inequality. It was God's idea, wasn't it? It was God's idea to create a universe which is hierarchical, which means that there are levels which God designed. And in God's universal hierarchy, God, of course, is at the top. And then we have cherubim, seraphim, archangels, angels. And what does the Bible say is a little lower than the angels? Mankind. And Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels. And, of course, under man are all the rest of the animals, all the other created creatures. We are given dominion over them. So it's God's idea to have order. The husband, the Bible says, is the head of the wife. It does not say the husband ought to be the head of the wife. It does not say the wife ought to confer upon her husband the honor of being her head. It does not say that the husband earns or achieves or deserves his headship. It says the husband is the head of the wife. And the wife is to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. So there we have the hierarchy. And this hierarchical order obtains also in a Christian home. In any microcosm, which represents God's universe, God's heaven, we have these accepted positions, which have nothing to do with how smart we are or how spiritual we are. Lars Gren is my head. And I do want to put a little parenthesis in here right now. My name really is Elizabeth Gren. I am Mrs. Lars Gren, G-R-E-N is the last name. And the only reason that I go by the name Elizabeth Elliot in public is simply for simplicity. I can't be changing my name on my books. You know, publishers would take a very dim view if I wanted to put on the book Elizabeth Elliot Leach Gren. So it's just Elizabeth Elliot, and if anybody's ever heard of me, it's usually by the name of Elizabeth Elliot. So that's why we use the name publicly, but I am most happy to be Mrs. Lars Gren, and I don't want anyone to imagine that I'm a feminist who refuses her husband's name. I've been in a number of occasions where there was a debate or a panel on the subject of women's roles. Never once have I heard anybody else on any of those discussions talk about the mystery. That's the heart of the matter. And I'm not going to go into detail on all of that because that would take us another few hours, and I'd have written two books on that subject. Let Me Be a Woman and The Mark of a Man are on femininity and masculinity, respectively. But the reason that I am to be subject to Lars is not that Lars is better looking than I am, which he is. It's not that he is taller than I am, which he is. It's not that he is a whole lot physically stronger than I am, which he is. It's not even that he's smarter than I am or more spiritual than I am, which he certainly is in many ways. One thing I'm sure of is he's not always right. He's not always right. And God doesn't say, submit to your husbands as long as you think they're right. Because then there would be no submission at all, would there? Now think about it. If you and your husband have agreed on the movie that you want to see or the restaurant that you want to go to, there is no submission involved. It's when you think your husband has made the wrong decision. And there are no footnotes that says, wives submit to your husbands as long as they're being nice to you. Submit to your husbands if they're Christians. Submit to your husbands if you think they're right. Submit to your husbands as long as they are loving you as Christ loved the church. I've heard all this, you know, I hear it over and over again, but my husband is not a Christian, or my husband is not acting like a Christian, or my husband is asking me to do something God doesn't want me to do. Really? Are you sure about that? God has made it crystal clear that we women are to be subject to our husbands. Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. He holds a solemn office assigned by God to represent Christ. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. So in the home, which is a microcosm, the same order which obtains in the church obtains in the home. I am to submit to my husband because he represents Christ. I am to submit to my husband because I represent the bride who is subject to her husband. And that is what never gets talked about in these panels and discussions that I've been in on. The mystery. You start mentioning the mystery of Christ in the church, and Paul gives up at that point. He said, I speak, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Paul knew that he was beyond his depth at that point. He didn't explain it any further. We don't need any further explanation. That's it. I represent the bride. My husband represents Christ. He is the head. I am to submit.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.